Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Mike Hillaby. He's Director of Legislative Affairs for Kenfer Kroll and former Chief of Staff to Governor Gwynn, for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Mike Hillaby. He is Director of Legislative Affairs for Kenfer Kroll Renshaw. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks, good to be here.
What an election night.
It was interesting and long. What was going to happen, and may still be waiting on a recount in one Senate race in Las Vegas.
Not only long, but I mean long in terms of people showing up to vote and sticking around 3 hours past the closing time. People really wanted to vote.
They did, and good for them. And I'll be interested to see sort of the postmortem. I understand that's probably due in early January to look at how the changes in early voting locations, and particularly day of election day voting, you could go to any polling place. Did people saw the long lines that I think it was the Boulevard Mall in Las Vegas? Did people go someplace that was more convenient or might be a better place to stand in line, like a mall, for 2 or 3 hours than outside a school? And what kind of changes would the system need to make at the county level and state level to accommodate that?
Well, the biggest change was the public in an off-season, you know, an off-year election, 72% going out and voting. That would be a start there. I mean, who was prepared for that?
It's huge. I think we all expected sizable numbers, particularly once early voting. But by the end, those were pretty amazing numbers, particularly for a midterm.
And it's going to be interesting to see if this affects early voting in the future, where people suddenly realize, well, you know, I could have gone to Old Town Mall, just slipped in and slipped out
right
in 10 minutes if I'd have done early voting rather than, you know, being and there. But either way, I mean, great that people went out
right
there.
Right, yeah, voted. Those people that were still in line at 10 o'clock in Washoe County are probably thinking right now, man, I wish I would have early voted, and they may in 2 years.
Let's talk about some of the races and the ramifications for Nevada. Dean Heller obviously had been in the Senate for a while, was gaining ground in terms of seniority. Jackie Rosen is going to be a freshman. Catherine Cortez Masto, 2 years in. So our representation in the Senate, whether you're happy about it or not, they're fairly young in terms of influence. And, you know, after our experience with Senator Reid, who could do amazing things whether you were Republican or Democrat for Nevada, you've lost that power in the Senate now.
Right. Again, sort of taking the politics out of the side, the partisan part of it, we have two relatively new members in the Senate, obviously one brand new. Catherine Cortez Masto was just recently elected senator, both Democrats in a Republican majority Senate and the Republican president. That's going to put you in advantage, a disadvantage right off the bat, and the lack of seniority even within the minority party. So in that respect, it's going to make things a little bit more difficult. The good news is, if you look for Democrats, if you look at Catherine Cortez, raised a lot of money for the party as sort of one of those party leaders now, one of the figureheads of the party. The Culinary Union, the Democrats writ large, other groups show they can really get out and motivate people and get them out to the polls. Rebecca Lamb and the old Reid machine, as it was called, we'll see whose name it gets now, brought folks out to the polls. So to the extent that they can continue to motivate, continue to craft a compelling message for voters that gets even more Democrats out in 2 years, we'll see how those things change.
And it's interesting, too, because, you know, all the conversation in the media has been since the election that Nevada has gone from purple to blue because of Washoe County. But actually, I'm not sure that I really buy that. First of all, the increase in the size of turnout because of this particular election cycle, but also, you know, the Republicans have the opportunity maybe to get organized and be back in the game, which they really weren't this time around.
Well, and I think it's more than just getting organized. I don't disagree with you. I think if the Democrats continue to do the kind of job they've done and the Republicans do the job they've done, it's a blue state, and it will be for a long time to come. It's not just getting organized for the Republican Party. They've got to come up with better messengers and a more compelling message. They need to deal with the issues that people are talking about, like health care. This should have been a mandate about the economy in this election, with the way the economy is growing. Well, wage growth isn't great. There's a lot out there to be talking about. It wasn't. It became about health care. It became a referendum on the president. And as long as the president is the loudest and most vocal messenger that Republicans have, they're going to have a really hard time with women, with independent voters, even women among Republican ranks and men, and certainly with attracting Democrats. So it's more than just getting organized. It's great. They're going to have to get out and get people registered to vote, find out who they are, find out how to reach them. There's got to be a more compelling message.
And I would agree, although I think the Democrats are, to an extent, suffering nationwide, not so much in Nevada, but nationwide, with a lack of a compelling message as well. It seems like the Republicans are using the old phrases but not really living up to them, like, you know, we're for lower taxes and, you know, being more frugal, when in fact, you know, the amount of debt has gone through the roof. The Democrats are, you know, on one side, if you go to the most liberal side, we'll give it all to you for free. You know, free health care, we'll give free university. That doesn't appeal to an awful lot of people. And I think now you have a lot more people who are independents who could be swayed either way.
I think they could. I think people want to talk about policy matters, and they do care about those things. They care about the economy. They care about the rising cost of higher education. This can't be just an anti-Trump message that you see both at the state and the national level. Ultimately, that's not very compelling because it doesn't talk about how you govern. But those rank-and-file Republicans in local races, in state legislatures, in gubernatorial offices, and to some extent even congressional races, need to figure out how to differentiate themselves and start talking to voters about the things they care about.
And you talked about the Reid machine. The Reid machine came into existence because Harry Reid lost by just a few hundred, or won rather, by just a few hundred votes over John Ensign, mm-hmm. and vowed that he would never be in such a tight race ever again, and put that together. That has been many, many years that he spent building up that machine. If the Republicans want to do something similar, they really have to spend years doing that. The thing that concerns me for the Republicans is that they are still so fractured. You know, they co-opted the Libertarians because Libertarians quite a long time ago figured out they couldn't win as Libertarians, so they became Republicans. So you've got this mess of a Republican Party that's all these different fractured messages, whereas the Democrats seem to be in lockstep.
They do, and that's part of the problem. I mean, Republicans have talked about the big tent party and bring everybody in. You can't simultaneously say, I'm for small government for the things that matter to me, but I'm really for big government when it comes to telling you what to do on social issues and other kinds of things. They're going to have to figure out how to get a consistent message and go back to, I would think, some of those classic Republican roots, classic liberal roots, really, about the role of government, make a compelling case for people, about government closest to the people, what you ought to be doing at the local level. But when we're mired in social issues, can't get a grip on what an immigration solution might look like, but just make everybody mad, it's not going to work.
And the Hispanic vote. You know, if you look at it naturally, it should be a Republican vote. A religious group, a pro-business group, you would think that they would be naturally falling into the Republican side, but with all of the debate about immigration, it really turns off a lot of Hispanics.
It does. I think we have to be careful not to make any group monolithic because they're very different.
Absolutely.
Obviously, and have very
Absolutely.
Different. If you're a union worker, a culinary member in Las Vegas, you're going to almost always going to be a Democrat. That message is going to appeal to you. But you're right. You have so many migrants to this country, whether they're Hispanic or otherwise, who are entrepreneurial, who start out building businesses because that's what is going to feed the family. They have to figure out how to do something, particularly when our governing system and a lot of the political rhetoric leaves them sort of hidden and on the margins. Ironically, that's the very thing that makes you entrepreneurial. How do you figure out your own problems? You're not necessarily looking to government to do that. If Republicans could figure out how to tap into that, that ought to be a natural constituency. But when it's only, when the only thing they hear in a lot of migrant groups is an anti-migrant, anti-immigrant message from Republicans, they're not going to hear the rest of it.
All right, let's take a break. More with Mike Hillaby when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Hillaby. He's Director of Legislative Affairs at Kemfer Crowell Renshaw. So let's talk about where we are at this point with some members of the Republican Party. Mark Amadei, I would guess at this point, is now the leader of the Republican Party in the state of Nevada.
I think he is. I think you're absolutely right. He's sort of the last man standing in the congressional delegation. We only have one Republican constitutional officer left, Barbara Sagavsky, Secretary of State. He's the head of the party, whether he wants to be or not.
And, you know, there are many positive things to say about Mark Amadei. I think that he works across the aisle whenever he can, a lot of the times behind the scenes. The lands bills, you know, have been terrific that he's been working on. But he also has a wonderful sense of humor, which I think is very helpful. But he's also a team player. When he was getting grief for being the head of the Trump campaign in Nevada, he said, "This is the guy who is the top of my team, therefore, of course, I'm supporting him." So where do we go with Mark Amadei from here?
I think he managed that really well, frankly. That could have been much more damaging to him politically. I think he managed it quite well. Mark has always been pragmatic. He's one of the smartest politicians I know. You're right, he has a great sense of humor. Occasionally, it gets him in trouble because he can be a little bit flip. Saw him at the Veterans Memorial Dinner on Thursday night in Sparks. Did a great job. Just classic Mark. He's funny, he's engaging, he's very informal, he connects with people very well, he's likable. You're right, he's very pragmatic. He's going to say, what's the best policy solution? He'll go talk to the BLM regardless of who's in charge. He'll beat them up if Republicans are in charge, if they're not addressing Nevada issues. And he's really good. So I think he's got to be looking at both how to rebuild the party, particularly given his own district. He lost Washoe County this time, which has got to be a little concerning. There's still a big base out in the rurals. But he's got to look at what's going on in this county. Again, it's going to be hard until we see all the official turnout numbers and get a better sense of how independents and others voted, whether this was a bit of an anomaly because it was such an anti-Trump or not, or the year of the woman, whatever, all the factors that went into that, whether that those would replicate themselves in 2 years. But I think he's got to look at that electorate. He's a smart guy. He knows what's been going on as Reno has changed in the electorate here. Look at who we've elected as local government officials and for a lot of the races. So it'll be fascinating to see what he decides to do. Does he come back and challenge Democratic Governor Steve Sisolak for a second term? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Mark wants to do. He points out publicly he's 60 years old. There's a limit to how long you can keep doing this. So I'll be fascinated.
Yes, and you know he's complained about Washington ever since he went back there. And so it's not likely that he wants to stay there forever. At the same time, it's going to be, for somebody running for re-election, which I'm presuming that Steve Sisolak will, that incumbency, plus the fact of all his time on the Clark County Commission and his closeness with the gaming industry, is going to make it tough for anybody on the Republican side to challenge.
It will. I mean, he'll have a very strong base in Southern Nevada, obviously. He already has, and he'll solidify that being governor. He'll be governor when the legislature is redistricting in 2 years, 2.5 years from now. Democratic legislature, Democratic governor, they'll be able to draw those lines. It'll help his governor-elect Sisolak's fingerprints will be on Nevada politics for a very long time.
What do you see in terms of the redistricting? When Governor Sandoval did it, it was basically put into the hands of the judiciary to draw up the lines. Do you think we're going to see something similar going forward, or do you think it's going to be more partisan? As you point out, they have all three houses.
I think it will be very partisan. I think we'll see, to some extent, copies of what's going on around the country, that eventually those are challenged and judges get involved in rewriting that. We've got some instances where there are redistricting commissions that are put together. I read this morning House Democrats in Washington, D.C., their first bill is going to be an election reform, campaign finance reform, including requiring redistricting commissions. That's not going to go anywhere, but it's sort of red meat for some of the base. Sure. And some of the things they ran on. But then again, I don't know, by 2021, when the legislature reconvenes and it's time to redraw lines, what things might look like. We may have seen some changes then. We've certainly seen courts get involved in Texas and North Carolina and a whole number of other places. So there'll be certainly some red flags for either party to be overly political and start gerrymandering too much. But that's one of the fruits that the victors get. That's one of the spoils, is to be able to control that process.
To say the least. It's also interesting that Steve Sisolak, if he lived anywhere else but Las Vegas, I have a funny feeling he'd be a moderate Republican rather than a Democrat.
He's right in the middle, I think, in his governing. I don't know the governor-elect well, but from everything I've seen of him, he is, again, very pragmatic. He does have some business background, wants to try to find the middle solution. He's had a bit of a populist side to him, and what are people after? What kind of problems do people want us to solve? That will be fascinating to watch in the governor's office, and it will be, as a number of people have remarked before and since the election, a real challenge for him with a legislature that has included many members who think they have a mandate to be very progressive and much more liberal than perhaps he sees it or other of their fellow legislators.
So he must be very grateful that he doesn't have supermajorities in both houses.
That Senate District 20 race that's up for a recount right now, that's Keith Pickard, who is the presumptive winner of that seat against Democrat Julie Pazina. All eyes are on that because that's the seat that would deny the Senate a two-thirds veto-proof majority, and certainly it becomes quite a pressure relief valve for everybody potentially.
One of the other things that's interesting, of course, is that, and not everybody is aware of this, but the first budget that Steve Sisolak has will be essentially written by Governor Sandoval.
Right. Any governor gets largely everything they want out of any legislature in the budget. There's simply not enough time in 4 months. It's difficult to build all the things we've talked about, you and I, on this show a number of times. But Governor Sandoval has been very clear. He wants to leave his mark on the state. He's working hard to protect the programs that were near and dear to him. The comments he made to the media about what his advice would be for Governor-elect Sisolak, and that's to, among those things, to focus on education because it's been such a priority for Governor Sandoval, and he believes it is for, and I agree with him, the vast majority of Nevadans. But he'll have a lot of influence in that budget. The transition work will start in earnest, I think, tomorrow with naming of some staff or at least key transition figures by Governor-elect Sisolak. They'll start to meet. That clock is ticking. December 1st is the economic forum, or the first meeting in the first week of December. You've got to finish the budget, get it over to the legislature so they can start working the middle part of January.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast this moves. All right, let's take a break. More with Mike Hillaby when we come back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Hillaby. He is Director of Legislative Affairs for Kenfield Crowell Renshaw. So I'm going to throw out names and you just make comments, okay? Aaron Ford, Attorney General. Not really a lot of experience in litigating.
No, not a lot of experience at all. Has been obviously very active at the state legislature. Has some real political ambitions. I've heard from folks. He's talked about potential White House aspirations at some point. He'll have a steep learning curve going into the AG's office. There'll be a lot of turnover there. Anytime you have somebody leaving, particularly with party changes, that office has had some upheaval in the last few years. In any case, he'll have some challenge. You get to manage the state's largest law firm.
Tig Segelblum goes from the legislature as a state senator. What's the loss there versus the gain for the Clark County Commission, if there is one?
So he'll bring, obviously, a lot of institutional knowledge. I think he'll be happy not having to go to Carson City. He can. He's famous for throwing his Northern Nevada bombs, particularly at Ray Hager, one of your co-hosts, back and forth about Northern Nevada. He can now do that from a seat in Clark County and not from in Carson City.
Kelvin Atkinson is going to be the leader in the Senate.
So Senator Atkinson, Majority Leader Atkinson, has a long history, tenure in the Assembly before moving up to the Senate. He'll have, I think, his hands full, as will Jason Frierson, the Speaker, with very different looking kind of caucus. So he'll have his hands full as majority leader and figure out how you, again, transition from representing your district to statewide. That's tough for, I think, anybody as they move into those leadership positions.
Do you feel that they're both leaders are on the same page for the most part?
I think on many issues, but they're clearly going to have different priorities. We saw last session, the challenge of one-party control is one party's in control, and you can see the differences that start to emerge between the two houses. We've seen that last session with Democrats in control of both. We saw that in 2015 with Republicans' control of both houses. That creates its own set of challenges. I've always said a split government is a good thing. It protects both parties from their baser instincts. So it'll be a challenge.
James Settlemyer, who was spoken about many times in terms of if Mark Amadei decided not to run for CD2, that James would make that run. Now he's the leader on the Republican side.
I think people see rancher and cowboy hat and underestimate just how smart Senator Settlemyer is.
Yes.
He's incredibly well-educated. He's very quick. You talk to him about any number of issues, and he will reference something he's read, a FERC order if it's energy, something else, and you realize how whip smart the guy is. I think he's well respected across party lines in both houses. He's taken some pretty conservative positions that are sometimes not always endeared him to Republicans, but hard work, willingness to work together. He doesn't do things in an emotional manner. It'll be fascinating to see how that interaction with Senator Atkinson, those two have served together for a long time on Senate Commerce and Labor. I think they have a good relationship. They're able to talk to one another. They both have a good sense of humor. Kelvin's also very bright and able to figure out what people need and where things are. So that'll be a fascinating relationship to watch.
Yeah, James Settlemyer is the only person that really makes me feel guilty that I don't work hard enough.
Exactly.
Jim Wheeler.
Jim Wheeler is interesting. As a lot of people have pointed out, we now have the two minority caucuses, Republican Senate and Republican Assembly caucuses, run by guys from the same district in one of the smaller areas of Nevada in terms of population, more rural down in Gardnerville, Douglas County. You know, Assemblyman Wheeler has had early in his career some sort of missteps and public statements that got him in a lot of trouble. If you look the last, particularly last session, I think he kept his head down, worked really hard, tried to figure out what members of his caucus needed and wanted out of things in various committees, even those he wasn't on, tried to figure out how to work on one-on-one relationships with the Democrats, and that's what you have to do. So to the extent that 13 members of a 42-member House can have some influence or have some ability, he's an interesting choice for that, and I think will bring some interesting things to the table. There are individual members of that caucus that have already been working well across the aisle. Jill Tolles up here in Northern Nevada comes to mind, and others. So we'll see how they're able to do, but he'll have some challenges. They'll be pushed from the right again, and conservative, and the argument that never goes away, well, you didn't go far enough to the extreme, and you need to push harder to do that. So he'll have that, less of that with some of the changes in his caucus, but he'll have to deal with that too.
All right, see you in Carson City.
Yes, sir.
4 months, it's gonna be a long one.
Yes, it will.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. We'll see you on the next broadcast.